One minute.
Traffic is really bad. I'm late for.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I had the same thing. I came over early because I needed to do some shopping, and I was glad I did. It was backed up.
Yeah.
Half a mile.
Just seems like there are more cars everywhere than there have been in a long time.
There she is.
The fact that they don't want lane closes is not.
Well, that, yeah. Some temporary suffering for the long term.
Yeah.
Temporary is a relative term, I think. What board do you want to be on?
Well, it is 5:00, so thank you all for coming to our May 18th meeting of the Library Advisory Board. We're at Hall. And before we get started, let's do a quick roll call. Elizabeth Michelle?
Here.
Kevin McGavern?
Here.
Kelly Gentinen?
Here.
Pete Samsary?
Here.
Lisa Harris?
Here.
Jimmy Stewart?
Here.
And Sally Huggins? She's not here. Okay. All right, the first item on the agenda is the minutes of our April 20th meeting. I believe everyone has had adequate time to look over those minutes. Do we have any questions, comments, corrections? Okay.
Would we accept the minutes?
Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Jimmy. Anyone, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Those are approved. Okay, so first report we have on our agenda here is the Library Programming Services Report, and I will pass that over to Casey Falcon.
You have these, but here are the nice glossy versions. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
So, I mean, y'all got a chance to kind of look over what we've got, but I kind of wanted to just talk about mainly our summer reading events that we got going on. So, obviously, our theme is the McKinney Time Machine, so we have a lot of different stuff that highlights things across different time periods. So, our kickoff is with the Scottish Highland Games, and it looks like we got Scottish swordsmanship coming out, and we're looking at getting some, hopefully, Celtic music or dance. We also have our Wild West program. And that's going to be kind of our celebration of our 175th celebration of McKinney. So we're partnering with Chestnut Square, Texas Farm Bureau, and then the Southwest Dairy to do a milking demonstration. And for our Ice Age, we got the Dallas Paleontological Society coming out. We're working with the National Parks Service for the Waco Mammoth Monument. And then we got a retro party, which hopefully we're going to have kind of like a retro arcade and some other kind of fun stuff from the 80s and 90s. Ancient Mysteries will be more about, you know, Stonehenge, lost civilizations, cities, stuff like that. And then Time for Tomorrow will be our finale. And we'll have the Perot Tech Truck out, along with hopefully some other futuristic stuff. And Mayor Fuller has agreed to be there to kind of do a photo op with some of our top minute readers for our, what we're calling our Minutes to Win It reading challenge for the summer. And then we also have our McKinney Comic Con, which is kind of a separate event that's coming early on, but we'll have some local comic artists and cosplay competitions.
That's the main focus. I think if you look through, there's some things that are new that you'll see this summer that we're trialing. So in the adult programs, it's an open source meetup. So Ed Veal is working on that, where he found an open source community that used to meet pre-pandemic and they haven't met since then. So we're opening our doors and kind of providing some structure there for anybody who has any questions or interest in anything open source to come and just kind of meet up and talk with like-minded individuals and kind of work on little projects there. For the teen programs, we're actually starting a teen crochet club. So that's going to help teens learn how to crochet, but also kind of give them a hobby, something in the summer to do, at various skill levels. So I think if you've noticed, crochet is kind of, I don't want to say it's a fashionable thing, but it's in fashion right now to learn how to do that. And so we're excited about that. But also this Grossology program. So that's going to be an animal-specific program, but it's going to kind of be all about the gross stuff about animals for teens. So that should be a little fun. We're trying to, I think, just expand and see, hey, who aren't we getting with these programs so we can try to get some new ones. And then It Might Get Loud. We've talked about that before. That continues to grow. There's actually, in the last meeting, there was a band of teenagers. They don't have a name yet, but they were actually, that was their first time to play as a band, and they formed there, and they're going to keep playing on at that John and Judy Gay, kind of building up their chops. We'll have to figure out what percentage we get from their first album, but we're excited about that continuing through the summer. That's been something that's grown. I'm really proud of what staff has put together for this summer. We anticipate it's going to keep everybody very busy. And just the ability to, like she said, to, hey, here's McKinney's 175th birthday. We're going to incorporate that into our theme. We're going to, you know, really try to hit all the sections. Casey and her team have really done a great job pulling this together for us. So, any questions for anybody on any specific things? Pete, do you want to milk the cow when it comes out?
Yeah. But I had a good friend of mine who was a University of Texas grad, who ended up running a study line in Illinois and lived on a farm. I was heard to say after he'd been there a while, you know, I probably should have gone to Texas anyway.
Yeah. So we're excited about that. Yes, ma'am.
About the Pride story time on May 17th. Mm-hmm. So last summer, I know we had all kind of issues, but some people that were not happy that we were having that. I mean, there were Proud Boys here with weapons. I mean, do we have extra security?
There were no weapons. That report was not accurate. They had, like, mace and stuff, but I was out there with them.
It is
legal for them to carry, yeah. Police were here the whole time last time. You just didn't see them. They were very good about being in and around and on the outskirts. And if you saw, there was, like, at the very end, two people started getting in an argument, and all of a sudden there were, like, eight police officers right there. So they're planning to have them here again. In talking with the protesters last year, a lot of them said the reason they were out is because there was a flyer going around saying it was a drag queen story hour, which it was not. And I think when they found that out, a lot of the wind went out of their sails. But we will have, I will be here, branch manager will be here, we will have police presence, and hopefully it will be nothing. But we anticipate, you know, again, last year was the first one when they realized that it was just a regular story time. We have the books selected, they can see what they are beforehand, that we're hoping that it doesn't repeat itself, but we're ready if it does. That in the end, I think it was just a really good, well-attended program, and all the drama, 90% of the drama stayed in the parking lot. The Bucky's mask, I don't understand. I don't get it. But the police were here, they were all around the building, so we're well ready for that this year.
Awesome.
Yeah, if we can, we had 67 people last year in the program, so we're looking to expand on that number. So Laura's done a great job pulling that together for us.
Thank you. Any more questions about the summer programming? Okay. All right, Spencer, I'll hand it over to you for the director's report.
Yeah, and real quick, sorry, once you mentioned that, one of the pieces of feedback we got last year was you're doing this, but you're not doing anything for 4th of July. Mostly because we're closed on 4th of July, but this year we do have a family story time set specifically to go 4th of July to make sure that we are. And we did last year, it just wasn't promoted. And so this year it's gonna be right next to that promoted, so people realize that we do try to hit every celebration that we can, so.
Sometimes people just don't hear about it if there's not drama involved.
It's the hard part, the communications is how many different channels and, you know, how do you get it out there? So,
yeah.
the board report here. Hopefully you got a chance to look at the dashboard on the link. At the top, you'll see staff, including Casey, who presented at the Texas Library Association Annual Conference. They did a great presentation showcasing kind of how we changed to do our big special events. So they got a lot of questions afterwards, shifting from, you know, the old way where we would pay a performer to sit in this room and then pack people in, to now how we do things like the recent Dynamite Ag Hunt, which had over 1,000 people attend John and Judy Gay, or the Earth Day and Kite Fly event, which in between 1,500 and 2,000 people came out throughout that day, and we couldn't have done either of those things the way we used to do things. So they did a really great presentation on that to the state, and had some good questions and hopefully some follow-ups, but it was nice to see them kind of spreading the word about how we're doing things here in McKinney. Circulation, it's looking good for April. We're not at the 2019 numbers, and again, I'm still caveating. Remember, 2019 were 2-week checkouts with renewals, but really the difference is movies, DVDs, Blu-rays. We're down from 2019 about 4,000 checkouts and renewals, and movies alone were down about 6,000. So really, when it comes to books, we're surpassing in every collection code what we were doing even in 2019. Just the use is through the roof. E-books continue to grow as well. Our study room hours at both locations continue to grow. Hall has really picked up. There are plenty of times where all three of those rooms are in use, which is really great to see that happen. And it's that software, we're actually shifting software soon. So if you're trying to book a room and you can't, it's because we're in the middle of flipping that switch. That should go live Saturday. It's also the software that we're getting also will be our reservation system for our programs. So all of our programs, instead of having to link out to an outside site, are going to be in our catalog. So people can register right in the catalog and get the information they need. It's going to be really nice once it goes live. And the reason Saturday is it's 2 weeks before summer reading kickoff, and that's when people can start reserving things. So we anticipate, hopefully, that those study room hours continue to grow as much as they can under the new system. It should make it a lot easier for people to get in there and make reservations.
Can you pay online?
Well, we're actually, we proposed in the budget that we actually do away with charging for the rooms and just change our policy to allow who uses them and who doesn't to be nonprofits and local groups, because it's, Alicia can probably attest that every time we've got to go through and say, well, are they actually selling something? What are they doing? And then it's $20 an hour. Is that, how much time are we spending looking at this? Is it offsetting any revenue that we're generating? And who are we precluding from coming in here? Is there a neighborhood group across Highway 5 that needs a place to meet that could meet right here, but they see that price tag and they're like, no one's gonna, who's gonna pay for that?
Girl Scouts.
Just teen, we have the conference room upstairs that like teen Model UN groups are practicing, or teen robotics groups are practicing, and just to allow them to use it for free with approval, just, it would make it more of a community space. That's still in the budget request. We don't know if that's going through, but we bring in, it was like $3,000 a year from those businesses, and just processing that and all that staff time that goes into that. So hopefully it'll be different, but no, the paying online, we're working on that for lost books, but it's not quite there yet. So we continue to have new members join at kind of record pace, so almost 800 in April. Makes sense, we're still growing, but they're coming to us and they're getting cards and they're using us. You can't see it here, but this has the list of the top books. Atomic Habits is the back on top for the adult nonfiction. Let me see if I have, this is just a function of, it's a live dashboard and we try to make a PDF out of it. Let me pull it up here. Maybe by the Lake was the most anticipated new novel. If you see the cover, you'd recognize it probably just from being everywhere. That continues to have a lot of pool. And then, Top Gun Maverick was the most watched DVD or Blu-ray. And then the most streamed show from our streaming was A Walk, Walking with Dinosaurs, Prehistoric Planet, BBC production. And at LinkedIn Learning, the number one course was Mastering Self-Leadership, which is funny because I took that one too, so I was part of the crowd. And Happy Place by Emily Henry was the most reserved title of that month. You can see that our holds, we continue to satisfy those at a high rate. It was over 10,700 holds in the month of April that we fulfilled, whether that's new books or waiting books. And then on the next level, the main takeaways from the programs are there were certain areas where we actually did fewer programs but had more people attend. So our average attendance per program is good, which means we're kind of letting go of the things that aren't working and figuring out to replace them with things that are doing a little better. Of course, it helps whenever you have, you know, the egg hunt with 1,000 people and the kite flying Earth Day with 1,500 people in the same month. It's going to shoot that number up through the roof.
These numbers here are year over year, the two different colors? Is that
yes.
That is? Okay.
Yes. So and so the purple is this year and the blue is last year. And then on the, where that doesn't quite catch, we had over 740 hours of volunteer service here at the library this last year. Another budget request is we have asked for consideration for a volunteer coordinator as a full-time volunteer and partnership coordinator to come on board. Again, we requested that for the city manager's budget, where it goes through and the likelihood, we don't know yet. But with these numbers, with, you know, we're anticipating those aren't gonna slow down. The demand is still there. And then as far as getting repeat volunteers and large group volunteers, like we had Raytheon out at the NASA program a little while back, but building that relationship up, keeping that going is something that we're very interested in as well.
So on the volunteers, are any of them here by maybe quarter point?
Well, that's something we'd like to start too, which is why we need the volunteer. Because right now volunteers are managed by a bunch of different people. Like basically whoever's requesting the volunteers, going through and working with some staff to make it happen. And the bandwidth to do a court-appointed teen volunteers isn't there. We've talked with courts. Mm-hmm. There's a demand for it. We would like to do it as an avenue, but the management of it and the getting it, get the ball rolling is a little tough because what can they do? Like, it's just different. Like, and then they have to be here. So it's not like we can just call them up and say, hey, there's nothing for you to do on your shift today. Thanks for coming in, that kind of thing. But we would like to do that. Because, and especially with kids as low as 13, there's just nowhere for them to go. I mean, if they're a member of a scout troop, they maybe could pull something off there, but this might show my bias. I don't think there are a lot of scout troop members who are also getting court-ordered community service appointments. But a lot of that's the volunteer service. We know that you know, community service hours from schools are not going away, right? They're actually increasing. So being able to do that, one of our long-term goals is to offer free tutoring from students for those who can't afford tutoring, or just to offer as a mix where, hey, you can get your service hours and we can offer tutoring here. And that's, you know, we want to do 1,000 hours of that next fiscal year. That's going to take someone to pull together and work with those groups and do all that. So we hope that continues to grow. It's kind of exponentially growing over what it was in the years past. So that's, that answer your question
yes.
A little bit there. So, and more. And the other program that's kind of down here I want to showcase is the math science program. We are, if you remember Amy when she came, did she actually come here or was she gone before she came here? We have a posting for a communications position open now for the library. One of the things that we sorely lack whenever we lose that person is photos for some of our programs. So Math Science is consistently a top performer with 50 people coming. It's a school-age STEM program, and it happens to be at a time where getting other people to go in there and try to take good photos is really tough. But I just wanted to shout that out because Jacqueline's done a great job preparing for that program, the lesson plans for that program. It's a really quality program, and it doesn't get as much kind of recognition as it could because we don't have a ton of pictures of the outcomes of what people are actually doing in there because it's so busy that everyone who's in that room is helping do something in that room. But those will, anyway, so that's why that's there. Generally, it's rosy. Things were really good in April. So far in May, they continue to be good. We anticipate it, again, with summer reading coming in. Frisco gets out of school tomorrow. So there was a period in April where, of the early readers at John and Judy Gay, there was a day where 75% of them were checked out in April. So we were moving things, and we're hoping to, you know, that wave is already coming. This summer should be very busy for us, looking at more records breaking. And then in this building, if you want to take a tour, self-guided, all of the adult nonfiction by the end of tomorrow should be on that half of the building in the computer lab. Everything on this half of the building, teen, will be the top. So if you're looking for adult materials, it's on that wing. Kids' materials are on this wing. They are separated completely by the courtyard and the catwalk. And then we will, later this month, dismantle the remaining shelves up there so we can start doing school-age programs upstairs here. And then we've moved some tables over there. It's really changed how the library is flowing already in a good way, getting people in different places. So we anticipate that this summer we'll see the fruits, you know, that bear fruit here too. So it's part of that long-range, you know, reimagined plan years ago. We're working on it piece by piece.
Well, segueing off of that, where's the across the road library as far as planning?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
So we're meeting with the CIP group and the city's kind of development person later this week to talk about alternatives. Right now, we're looking at what it would take to remain in this building, because even if the city does want to put forth a bond to move, it's still years and years away. But we know this building needs carpet. The bathrooms need to be brought into ADA compliance. I brought up my power washer and power washed the bathrooms not that long ago, and I found in the women's restroom downstairs, the drain, as I was trying to squeegee into the drain, is uphill. So it's like a little hill of a drain. I didn't anticipate that as I was doing it. That was a very good, like, I probably should have looked before I busted out the power washer in that one. But so things like that need to happen. And so we're working on what budget would that take in addition to looking at future projects, whether it's in parks, whether it's across the street. I just don't know where the appetite for bond, where the timing for that comes in, given the last election and well, where that stuff is.
I wouldn't read any prejudice into bonds because of
the... No, it means it's different because the capacity is... It's a totally different number than it would have been if that had passed.
Yeah, right.
So it just that's means, true. Like, is there an appetite for it in a different way than there was? Right. And but we're still...
Kevin is still smiling.
Yeah. But we're right now we're going to focus on what's that going to look like, but also what do we need to do, because this building alone is $500,000 to replace the carpet. I mean, it's 30 something thousand square feet with labor and costs, because the carpet's got to be, you know, this place hadn't had carpet for 15 years, and it's got to be carpet that's going to stand up to another 10-15 years with the traffic that we get. The furniture, you know, it's piecemeal now, and if we're going to do it, you know, what's it going to take to not be piecemeal? We've actually talked with the designer about putting a slide in from upstairs to downstairs here to add some kind of fun, since there's only one elevator, but then all the kid stuff is on this side.
It's already loud enough out there without children saying, wee.
Yeah, well, but we saw one in Cedar Rapids that has one that could really function. Well, but just figuring all that out, tearing out some walls from some rooms and making them glass walls that can, you know, open or collapse so we can set off different spaces. We're working on what? Use the slide. Yeah. You can use the stairs now, so I don't see why not. So we're talking about those things. In addition, we're hoping to get new furniture for staff that will allow us to fit all of our staff in this building, kind of, not almost all of our staff, in a similar space to improve communication, similar to you have at John and Judy Gay. We saw positive stuff with that, but that would actually allow us to free up a staff office room upstairs to be another publicly available space, which if we go along with not charging for renting, that's another space that community groups can meet, student groups can meet, things like that, in this building, which is, you know, kind of where there's demand on this side of town. So, did that answer your question? Sort of.
How about your discussion about
that? We're still in talks, you know, with Parks Facilities, and if Parks builds a facility, getting a footprint in there. Right now, you know, Anna is building a new library that'll be open early in 2025. And in between them building, talked with Prosper and Melissa, partnerships with those libraries might actually serve our people better that far north, where they can have a selection of locations to go from. Exactly. Yeah. So that's something I'm in talks with the Anna Neighborhood Services Director on. I've talked with Melissa, talked with Princeton, talked with Prosper. So there's various levels of interest. It's just how, you know, how do we pull the trigger, and what does it look like for the group? Because we service, you know, we checked out in 2021 and 2020 and every other year, more books to Princeton users here than Princeton does total. We've done more ILLs for Prosper users here than Prosper does total. We service more Melissa people than Melissa has cardholders. Anna doesn't have a library, right? But they drive through Melissa to come here. So it's going to get to a point, it's already there. We've had these discussions on, okay, well, how feasible is that for us to continue to serve these communities without some type of official agreement to, in reciprocation? Now, don't get me wrong, McKinney people can go use a Melissa library, but it's not happening. So,
why would I do that?
Now, I will say roughly 12%, when I looked, of interlibrary loans that of a sample that we'd requested in last year would have been available at one of those other libraries. So there are benefits to us, but really if we can, that's where we're trying to grow that. In addition, we're trying to develop what we call outposts, which is where through technology and we could take a partnership with Parks, we could build a vestibule in a park that could have a holds locker and a cabinet with books of bestsellers that you can check out and return. So we can have pockets spread out throughout, you know, at the hospital or near the hospital, so people who are out and about can just, you know, return things and pick up holds without having to make the trip.
Is there a regional model?
There are. So if you look in Tarrant County, it's called the Metro Share. So that used to have Fort Worth, but Fort Worth pulled out, but it is Benbrook, Burleson, Watauga, Haltom City, Forest Hill, Richland Hills, Keller, and they all have a shared catalog, and they have their own lending rules. Some have fines, some don't, but when you're searching as a patron, you can search the joint catalog, and you don't know which one it's coming from. You just request it, and it comes here, and so they've had a lot of success with that. It really amplifies their, you know, the volumes they have in their collection, and it's a net positive. Or even if you just look at our ebook partnership and the Cloud Library Consortium, which has Bexar County, Louisville, Colleyville, I mean, so many libraries that we're able to have access to, you know, it's almost 1 million titles or something. It's a huge number. And if it's checked in, you don't know where it comes from. It just is available to you. It just, those all come with what's the MOU look like? What are the cities agreeing to? Is there a funding level that, you know, because do we want to go into a library that when we're paying $18 per capita for library services and they're paying $8, what makes up that difference? Like, why is that good for a McKinney resident? So those questions still have to be resolved. But
thank you, Spencer. Any other questions, comments? Okay, all right. Well, a little bit of housekeeping. Our next meeting will be June 15th at John and Judy Gay, 5 o'clock. And if there are no other comments.
I would like to say anyone who is interested, if your term is coming up or whatever, I think the applications for other boards, they're already having the information out there if you check the city website. So I think it's one application for all boards now. I think it was that way last time, but just if you are, I know Pete will be terming out.
And me.
And you'll be terming out. So if you're interested in being on another board, make sure you get that application in so they can take a look at it. So.
You wouldn't preclude us coming to the meeting and sitting in the corner. I've done it.
The more the merrier. The more the merrier. So,
there is a precedent.
Yes,
there is. And thank you
for
that reminder.
So I just want to make sure that nobody misses a deadline because they didn't get that in there. So.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jimmy and Pete. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you all very much.